Welcome to The Geek Generation, episode 4. I am joined today by a brand new co-host. Of course, not brand new to me. He's probably the one I've known the longest out of all my current co-hosts so far. And that is Mike Reinfleisch. How are you, Mike?
I'm fantastic, Rob. How are you?
I am great. I hear you're not feeling particularly well today, though.
Yeah, I used fantastic because this is the fourth episode, so I figured Fantastic Four would sound neat. But no, personally, I feel like crap. I have a summer cold. I feel like Nathan Explosion in that episode of Deathlok gets a summer cold. That's me right now. My wife also has the cold. My daughter has the cold. We're basically quarantined in our home right now. I'm just sweating to the oldies because it's really hot in my room. And
I'm
sick. And I know you are sweating as well at your house.
I am. But I appreciate you for taking the time to do this with me anyway, despite the difficulties that are there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, work plus home life equals not much time. But you have an awesome website and a really cool podcast as well, so I definitely wanted to be a part of it. So here I am.
Awesome. Well, thank you. I also should warn the audience, too, that I know we are fine in our conversations, but they might find it strange that I call someone named Mike Wally all the time. And that goes back to our college days when we all had Justice League names and Mike was the Flash and still is the Flash. And as per Wally West, I've gotten in the habit of referring to you as Wally. So I'm sure I'll probably be doing that many times throughout the show.
That's fine. That makes a lot of sense given the content of what you produce. So I'm down with that.
Awesome. All right. Well, first thing I want to do is announce a site milestone that I'm very excited about. The site started up at the end of December 2009, and we've been in existence for about 7 months now. This past Tuesday, we hit 100,000 page views, which I'm very excited about.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And within actually today or tomorrow, we'll hit 15,000 unique visitors. So I think that's pretty cool. So I'm hoping some of those viewers decide to come over to the podcast and enjoy probably what I think is our strongest part of the site.
Awesome. Yeah, I agree. I think your podcast is very cool so far. It is young. I mean, this is, like you said, the fourth episode.
Right.
But technically, you did episode 0, and then you had, I think, a 3.5 in there.
Oh, yeah, we like to play around with numbers.
Sure. Yeah, this will probably end up being episode 4.21879 or something.
Oh, yeah, it's going to end up sounding like a star date or something.
You should. Yeah, it's going to be a captain's log. Or perhaps a Green Lantern sector when we're all done.
Perhaps. The other thing I want to mention first off is the Dangerous Memories podcast, who are friends of us. One of their hosts, Todd Tewley, has co-hosted here as well. And I listened to their episode this week, and it's funny because it's getting to the point where if someone really wants to be able to follow one of our podcasts, whether it be this one or Todd's, they almost have to listen to both of them because we start referencing each other so much. So I would definitely suggest checking out the Dangerous Memories podcast. But at the same time, I don't want to be too nice to them this week because they decided to give me some crap this week on their show. Todd was saying that I put out an abbreviated episode last week, which I did because I had knee surgery. I thought that was a valid excuse, so I could do only a half hour instead of doing no episode at all. But it didn't seem to fly with him.
What's up with that?
I don't know. What's up with that?
What's up with that? Wow, I haven't said that in forever.
I know, right?
What's up with that?
Wherever Gregory Helms is, he's like Chuck.
Follow him on Twitter too. He's a good time.
Do you?
I do. He's funny.
That's awesome. Well, he's always seemed like a great guy. Well, tell those guys over at the other podcast to relax. You know, going under the knife is never something to be taken lightly. I mean, maybe it's the comedy of it that you got your knee operated on and not your voice box or something that has to do with a podcast.
I know, right? But I should be able to sit in a chair and talk. It was only knee surgery.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, that's still a little harsh. I mean, whatever. You had surgery. Let it go, you know, whatever. And I think it's good that both podcasts are referencing one another and having kind of that friendly rivalry, which looks like is being birthed already. You know, just mentioning one another and piggybacking off one another, I think, can only be a positive thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was all in good fun. I know he was busting my balls and everything. but at the same time, and it will be fun. I enjoy the back and forth we have. And a lot of us are all going to New York Comic Con this October. Myself and my friend Matt will be there, as well as Todd and a few of his friends. So if I wouldn't be surprised if we had some sort of a collaborative episode while we're hanging out in New York.
That's a fantastic idea. I wish I could go. I did go to the Boston show, not Comic Con, but there was like a con recently in Boston that I went with Dave, actually.
Yep.
And the missus, and it was okay. I saw a few of my good friends there that produce, you know, comic book related stuff, and I don't want to. This is my first show, so I'm not going to get into cheap plugs for other people's projects. But it was good to go to. But you know, the New York Comic Con is like, you know, other than the San Diego Comic Con, New York Comic Con is like the mecca. So that'll be good for you guys.
Right. Yeah. I know. I am looking forward to that. And you're right. Boston really hasn't seen a great convention since the Wizard World one we went to years back, which was a blast.
Yes.
That was so much fun.
You know, I still find random photos from when we went to that, and they still make me laugh and smile, and I'm like, oh, that was such a good event, you know. And I heard a rumor that Wizard World might be coming back to Boston.
I heard that as well, but I've gotten no confirmation of it.
Those punks.
I know. I would love to. That would be. I would actually love to do a live podcast at the Comic Con if that was case. That would be so much fun.
Well, like I said, the buddies of mine that were at the Boston show, I think it was only like $100 for a booth.
Wow, that's not bad.
But I mean, again, that was a smaller venue. If it's actually, you know, produced by Wizard, they're probably gonna charge you a pretty penny.
Right, and at the same time, I can't generate any money just to buy a new microphone from this thing so far. So,
right, microphone first, Wizard World second.
Right, right.
Was that in 2005?
It might have been.
Was that really 5 years ago?
That's crazy.
Longer than you're in high school for?
Yeah.
Unless you know, stay back, but hopefully that didn't happen to anyone. you know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah, really? Yeah, that was a long time ago, which is shocking.
Crap.
Yeah. So anyway, to get back on track to the Dangerous Memories boys, and especially you, Sir Todd, I just have to say, bazinga.
Bazinga!
And he'll know exactly what I'm talking about.
Boom.
We're going to go right now into the listener emails, which is exciting that I actually have some to read this week. We only got 3, I believe, the first time that we had a listener poll, and this time we have 5 to read, which is nice. The topic we gave you last show was, what show from the 80s would you like to see adapted into a movie? First email comes in from Jaron Rabideau, and I apologize, Jaron, if I said your last name wrong. Next time you send in an email, you can give me a phonetic spelling, and hopefully I'll be able to fix that. Jaron gave us a very quick, short answer and just said, I want to see an Alf movie.
Oh, man. Yeah, they should put that in 3D and just have a scene where he just eats cats.
Do you really want to see a CG Alf, though, instead of the puppet?
You know what? I know you and Dave spoke of the whole CGI versus animatronics thing. And you know what? I think I would rather see a puppet Alf, of course, because that's what Alf was, is a puppet. But you know that won't happen. They will make him CGI just like the Chipmunks or the Smurfs or Garfield or anything else that's come out recently.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, it's if they made that kind of a movie, it would just fall just in line with all the other films I just mentioned. You know, it would have the same level of success and blah, blah, blah. But Alf, that's actually a good choice. But, you know, Hollywood would then butcher
it.
But
right.
Whatever.
Let's see. Second email comes in from a mutual friend of ours and my wrestling tag team partner, Mike Volpe.
Nice.
Yeah. Mike said, I was born in 85, so I do not remember too many 80s shows. However, I was a huge fan of ALF. I think it is time for an ALF movie. In the past few years, I have noticed ALF popping up in various commercials and reruns are playing on TV. A movie could spark a return for the show. Great show, Rob. So two votes for ALF. Who would have thought, really?
All I can think of now is the scene from The Simpsons where Milhouse buys a bunch of ALF Pogs. And he's like, remember ALF? He's back, but in Pog form. What the deuce is with ALF?
I don't know. I didn't even realize it was that popular.
Wow. Yeah, I guess I'll give my same answer. Sure, I guess.
We'll go right on to the third one then. The third one comes in from Zach Nunes, who's actually a former student of mine. So it's kind of funny to get emails in from them. He says, hey, to answer your question, what 80s movie would you like to see as a movie? I think he meant what 80s show.
TV
would you
show.
Like to see as a movie, yeah.
Whoops.
I will have to say Gilligan's Island, although I was born in the 90s, not the 80s. So I asked my dad what the best show was. So he said Gilligan's Island.
Gilligan, was that the 80s? Did it start like late? I know nothing about Gilligan's Island. You know, you have to Google that sucker, but
yeah,
you know, what was the first year that Gilligan's Island started and what was the last year? I mean, maybe it was 80s. I didn't pay attention to Gilligan's Island at all.
I didn't either. I thought it was a pretty terrible show, actually.
Yeah, super duper campy. But that's, I mean, at least he didn't say ALF. So
that's true. That's something. It's an original thought, at least, even if he had to go to his dad for it.
Right. You know, my dad really wanted me to say Gilligan's Island, but I got to go with ALF.
Next email comes in from a former co-host in front of the site, Scott Toomey. He says, greetings, Rob V and company. I haven't been the biggest fan of the recent versions of 80s TV shows turned into films, the A-Team being the lone exception. I'm not a fan of the slapstick comedy route that a lot of them have gone, i.e. Dukes of Hazzard and Starsky and Hutch. Miami Vice had a lot of potential with Michael Mann at the helm and a pretty good leading cast, but it ultimately felt too drawn out and long and didn't live up to my expectations. Right off the bat, I can name two shows that I would love to see get made into films. The first being Quantum Leap. That show is a favorite of mine from when I was a kid, and you could easily translate it to the screen. The other I would like to see would be The Greatest American Hero. If done the right way, it could be really funny and really heartwarming and charming at the same time, much like the show itself was. Keep up the great podcasts. Now, Quantum Leap and The Greatest American Hero, I think, are two very, very relevant and good suggestions. However, they are the two ones that Todd and I suggested on the episode where we posed this question.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So it feels redundant. I'm sure they're original thoughts on Scott's part, but at the same time.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, you know, at least both of those choices are good for making into a franchise. Hollywood's all about making one movie into at least 3 to 6, you know. So
right.
I think both of those choices are really good to make into multiple films.
Yeah, I agree. And I actually heard... what is it? The show on Sirius Satellite, the Geek Time show. They were talking about what kind of role you would like to see Leonardo DiCaprio in if he played a superhero. And one of the poll suggestions that they had was Greatest American Hero, which is interesting.
That's funny. I don't know if I'd waste. I don't know if I'd waste Leonardo DiCaprio's talents on The Greatest American Hero. You know, as we know, Ryan Reynolds is going to become the Green Lantern, but originally he was slated as being the Flash.
Right.
You know, me being a Flash fanboy, how about the Flash? Like, he's a good actor. He's still young. That's another film that's still in, you know, floating in pre-production limbo.
Right. Right.
I'm just going to slap my opinion on that and say Leo DiCaprio dons the red suit.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah.
Last email. Let's see. From Megan. There's so many shows to pick from. This is a tough one. And being a child of the 80s, I have strong attachments to the television characters I grew up with. I have a stuffed animal named after Doc's dog Sprocket from Fraggle Rock. My first thought was to have a movie based on MathNet, but since it was only a segment from the show Square One, I don't think that'd be a good idea. Second thought was a movie version of The Golden Girls, but that's already in the works with Sex and the City 3, essentially. So my vote is for a modernized version of Fantasy Island. I think there's a lot that could be done with that show and different directions it could go in. It's kind of like an episode of Lost mixed with Stephen King's Needful Things.
Hopefully we don't podcast like Betty White. I'm gonna reach for a Snickers right now.
Go for it.
Thanks. Fantasy Island. I guess. Yeah, that's another good original answer. Again, she did not say Alf.
Right.
So I think Fantasy Island is a good one. I never watched that show. You know how I feel about cartoons.
Yeah.
So when I was growing up in the 80s, I pretty much just watched cartoons. I did watch Quantum Leap, though. So I think out of Quantum Leap, Greatest American Hero, and Fantasy Island, I would have to give my vote to Quantum Leap. But to put in my two cents about this, I was a huge – and I know both of these things are in pre-production, allegedly, but – you know, they need to put the pedal to the metal on Voltron and Thundercats. You know, I've heard all these rumors about Thundercats and, like, Michael Bay. I think it was The Onion had an article about Michael Bay taking over Thundercats.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. But, you know, I've heard all sorts of rumors about both of those franchises. But I think they would make good films. You know, I think if done correctly, they would be good, very good. And again, they could be a franchise. You could make easily three movies out of the Voltron or Thundercats.
Definitely. I would love to see Voltron get built together. I know you know they would do the CGI, and that would actually look kind of cool for Voltron, but to see the lions like really form together, you think of all the detail they put into Iron Man's suit, how cool Voltron could look like that.
That's a great point.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Probably the most iconic part of the Voltron show was him always coming as one from the five lions.
Absolutely. All right, so those are our listener emails. We're going to jump right now into geek outs and freak outs. I myself have a geek out. I have no freak out this week, but I would like to ask you first, Mike, do you have a geek out for us?
Yay!
Yeah, my geek out would be I haven't been to my comic book store in a couple weeks, but... Excuse me there. I had to
not a problem.
Reset my vocal cords. Like I said, I haven't been to my local comic book store in a couple weeks, but my geek out has been a constant interest in what DC is putting out as far as, you know, Blackest Night wrapped up, and now they have Brightest Day and Geoff Johns' work on the new Flash, which was the old Flash. Barry Allen is back, obviously. But just reading those two series, they just, again, DC, those two series specifically, they're putting out some really good work. And to switch gears to Marvel, I'm really geeking out because the internet has released from Comic-Con the posters for Thor and Captain America, the film.
Yeah, those look cool.
So just the artwork in those, you know, is already getting you amped up. So I'm already, even though it's a ways away, I'm already geeking out about Captain America and Thor.
Cool. Going back to the DC thing that you mentioned, I'm very excited to read the whole Blackest Night angle. And you know I like to wait until the trades come out and read everything all together. I believe Blackest Night, if it's not out already, is coming out very soon. And then I'll take a look at Brightest Day a little more in the future.
Yeah, Brightest Day is, I believe it's a bi-weekly. Because DC's had this thing where they just love releasing weekly to bi-weekly comics. They've been doing it for the past few years with 52 and, you know, those other series. So the latest one is Brightest Day, but it's cool because it takes all the things that Blackest Night was and expands on it and just puts it to the whole DCU, you know, universe. It's not just Green Lantern and his characters. It's everyone else.
Right.
So it's very cool because it spreads throughout the whole continuity of DC.
Oh, yeah. It's a fantastic concept. I can't wait to read it all.
Yep. And I have, actually, I bought my wife the Compassion Toon Tumbler, and I have the Life Toon Tumbler, which would be indigo and white if you're
awesome.
If you're color coordinating with that.
And they have, what is it? I've seen online they have the T-shirts for all the different colored lantern core symbols too, which is really cool.
Yes, and cha-ching on DC's behalf, because Blackest Night was a huge hit and still is, and just all the different symbols that they came out with, and again, the emotions and the colors and yada yada, but for them to mass produce as much as they could for all the different designs and whatnot is brilliant, because, you know, God knows I've bought a couple of those.
Right.
It's just really cool. It's cool to have, so they're very smart to cash in on that.
Cool. All right. Well, this week I am geeking out, and I know Todd gave me some crap on his show about it, but I've been geeking out over The Big Bang Theory again because I love that show. And since I did have the knee surgery last week and I really haven't been able to get out much, and I've been using almost episodes to time how long I need to ice my knee. I need to do it for about 20 minutes, and each episode's about 20 minutes. So I've almost rewatched the entire three seasons again, and that show is just so hysterical for multiple reasons to me. I think, do you watch it all? Or
I've actually never seen an episode. I know the basic premise. I've seen clips here or there. I do know that they're a fan of DC stuff, specifically The Flash.
Yes, yes, they are.
Because he time travels and the whole speed of light, blah, blah, blah.
Well, yeah, they have one episode that takes place during Halloween, and all four of them coincidentally decided to dress up as The Flash. So, like, oh, now we all have to change because we all wanted to be The Flash.
Nice.
So, I figured you'd appreciate that.
They could just, like, run in place. Couldn't they just, like, run
in... It's funny that you say that, because one of them said, well, we can just follow each other around all night, and we'll look like one guy going really fast.
Yeah, they look like Carmine Infantino's art of Barry Allen.
No, it's funny you say that, because that's the exact joke that they made in the show.
I should be a comedian.
You should be. Hey, wait.
Wait a minute.
Do that? Wait.
I was a comedian. I'm a retired comedian. Should have said that in the beginning. Whoops.
Dang.
We should have prefaced who the hell I was.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter who I am. I'm a voice.
A voice. A funny voice, though.
Thank you. A sick voice.
Yeah. Anyway, Big Bang Theory. I think Sheldon Cooper, the person on the show who clearly has a form of autism, probably Asperger's syndrome, is maybe the funniest character on TV right now in general. And the main character, Leonard, is someone who I identify with way too much. He's the epitome of geek who longingly just stares at the girl who he feels is out of his league and rarely dates and all that stuff. And I'm just like, wow, all this stuff is hitting home way too much.
Now, is that the kid that was one of Roseanne's daughter's boyfriends?
It is, yep.
Okay.
And it's funny, too, because the person that he was dating in Roseanne has showed up as a love interest on Big Bang Theory.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They brought her back, as well as, who was the other person? Why can't I think of her name? The sister.
The blonde?
Roseanne's sister.
Oh, Roseanne's sister.
Laurie Metcalf has come back as Sheldon Cooper's mother.
Gotcha. I think her best role was Artie's mom in Artie Lang's Beer League.
I think she was funny in that, but I think that movie was just terrible. I'm a huge Howard Stern fan, as you know, and that movie was unwatchable to me.
Yeah, I'm an old school Howard Stern fan as well. That was one of those movies where, like, you watch it and you're like, but it's, you know, you got nothing else to do. You pop it on in the background. It's not too bad.
Right. Yeah. So anyway, Big Bang Theory returns on Thursday night, September 23rd at 8:00 to start its fourth season. So that's that. Freakouts. Do you have anything this week?
Freakouts.
Well, I don't want to belabor this topic because I know you've spoken about this ad nauseum, but Twilight.
I'm just a constant one.
I'm just sick. You know what you should do is you should get all of us co-hosts together for one mega show, and we'll just bash the hell out of Twilight.
We have discussed doing that, but only stipulation was that we said we should all watch the movies together first.
No, I think what we should do is my freak out, as it were, isn't necessarily just the movies. It's just, I guess I feel what others feel when they don't really care or like, you know, let's just say Iron Man. And then every commercial you see, it's like the Iron Man Burger King meal and the Iron Man Verizon commercial and the Iron Man whatever, because that's what's going on with Twilight. It's like the Twilight Burger King meal and the Twilight, you know, whatever, keychain or toilet paper, you know, it's like, although if they made Twilight toilet paper, I'm sure that actually would sell big time.
I would want to buy it, but I wouldn't want to support the franchise.
There you go. If we wouldn't get in trouble, we should actually bootleg some of that, but I know that's very wrong to do. What was I going to say? Oh, I actually had a conversation with a handful of people at my work and was just getting to the point of how the tables have turned about genre films, because now you have, you know, young men complaining and being like, oh, this is so stupid. And then you have the young girls like geeking out and being like, oh, don't make fun of what we like. And, you know, how do you know? Because you've never seen it. But, you know, so how many years did you go out and watch Superman, Batman movies, Spider-Man, or, you know, all the films that have come out over the past decade, and you're into it, and you're talking to your family or friends about it. And then some random chick is like, oh, that's so stupid and blah, blah, blah. And, right. But they've never seen it. You know what I mean? And now the shoe's on the other foot. It's like most of us males haven't seen Twilight and probably don't care to. And, you know, we're listening to them yada yada about it. And now we're telling them to shut up. And now they're getting all offended. It's like, well, now you know how we have felt for years and years.
Right. And well, to defend males, you know what I mean? a little bit, I absolutely know what you mean. I mean, I'm sick of people telling me that such and such is childish or stupid just because everyone ever says Batman, why do you still like Batman? Da, 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 da.
Sure.
And look at the resurgence that we've seen with Batman Begins and The Dark Knight being so critically acclaimed. And
yes.
Meanwhile, I'm having to put up with all this crap for liking Batman.
Mm-hmm.
So you're right. And Twilight, I will say, I actually have watched the first movie.
Okay.
So that I would be in a position where I can now say what I want about it and I have something to back it up. And I can still say Twilight's stupid because I watched it now. So,
there you go. You have an educated opinion, and you can still tell people to shut up. I mean, you know me. Me not seeing the film isn't going to stop me from saying shut up about Twilight. But
right. And while you could say that one doesn't have to put their hand in the fire to know that it's going to burn them, I still think it would give us a little credibility if we watched them before tearing them apart, plus more material.
Gotcha. Yeah, what I would love to do with that one is, you know, why don't you just not include me in the watching it piece, but when you actually do the podcast of ripping it to shreds, just give me a call.
It's a deal.
All right.
All right. I don't have a freak out this week, and it's probably good because we're going almost a half hour already, which is crazy. Cool. Yeah.
That's what happens I get together, buddy.
I know, and we're just in part one. Whew. But I do right now want to play a game with you, and games are fun. The game that we play is Top 3.
Top 3.
Three, two, one.
The way we play Top 3 is that I give you a category. I try to gear them specifically to my co-host because it is primarily for you to play and I know what your interests are.
Okay.
I give you the category, you give me the top 3 that would fit into that category in no particular order. So you don't have to say which would be the number 1, 2, and 3, because that would just take way too much time. So
yeah, this would be
just tell me what
show.
The top 3 would be. Right. Your top 3, Mr. Wally.
Yes.
Give me the top 3 people that you would cast in a Flash movie. Now, it doesn't mean that the Flash is necessarily going to be Wally West as the lead or Barry Allen as the lead. You can sort that out however you want to.
Okay. Well, we already briefly touched upon this with Leo DiCaprio. So I guess I'll throw Leo DiCaprio's name. You know, DC stole this from me, but again, I would have really liked to see Ryan Reynolds as Wally West, and now he's going to be Hal Jordan.
Right.
But, you know, can we pull a Marvel? You know, because Chris Evans is the Human Torch and Captain America, which I find is absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, this is your game, man. You can do whatever you want.
All right, cool. All right, so Ryan Reynolds is going to be the Green Lantern and the Flash. So when they eventually make a Justice League movie, he'll just have to run off screen and, you know, change his clothes.
There you go.
And I guess the third choice for becoming the Flash would be me, because I think I could pull it off. I think I have the screen presence. No, I'm just kidding. I don't have an answer for number 3, so I guess I literally will say me, because... you know, Hollywood should just hurry up and discover me already.
I agree.
They're nice. There's
no reason you shouldn't be in the next big DC Comics movie.
Thank you.
All right. Well, I do have actually two categories for top 3 today, which is I haven't done that yet. So I'm going to throw another one at you.
Good.
Because this movie also is in pre-production and they are looking very seriously at people to cast for it. So I'm going to ask what your top 3 would be. Who you would cast in the role of Wonder Woman?
Wonder Woman. Okay. I would say, oh boy, my mind's drawing a blank. Who is the dark-haired woman? She played Persephone in The Matrix. She was in that movie Shoot 'Em Up with Clive Owen.
Monica Bellucci.
Monica Bellucci. If you could put Monica Bellucci in a time machine, maybe about 10, 15 years ago, I would say her. I'll tell you what, this isn't really answering your question, but maybe Monica Bellucci should play Hippolyta.
That's a good suggestion.
Because she's a little older now. I'm not sure how old she is.
I like that.
So, yeah, I'll give you a answer that's not answering your question.
Okay, well, what if I rephrase and just say the top three people you would cast in a Wonder Woman movie?
Gotcha.
And Hippolyta, Monica Bellucci being one of them.
Bang, we've got part one done.
Okay, so that's one down.
That's one down. I would say you need a good villain to be Hades. Not Hades, I'm sorry, Ares, who is one of Wonder Woman's main villains. So, I don't know. Maybe someone like, he's going to become the Red Skull in the Captain America movie. But, I'm drawing a blank. Who's the guy who played V in V for Vendetta, and then he was Liv Tyler's dad in Lord of the Rings?
That would be, why are you making me draw a blank now, too?
I'm sorry, man.
Hugo Weaving.
Hugo Weaving. You need someone with screen presence, you know, someone fantastic who could be a good villain. I don't know. Pick, I know we like Dexter. Pick John Lithgow. He plays a Trinity killer. So, no, I'm just kidding. John Lithgow has like one of those goofy voices. Like, could you imagine him as Ares? Like, that would be.
Yeah, but at the same time, you never know. I mean, he came off pretty well in Dexter. He's got the villain thing down.
Maybe. So that's my really random answer for Ares. And then for Wonder Woman, I say you got to go with an unknown. You got to go with an unknown. I know a lot of the internet wants Megan Fox because she's so popular.
Ooh, no.
I'm saying some of the internet, I said a lot, but I think some of the internet wants Megan Fox just because, you know, she's very popular and she's pretty, but she couldn't act her way out of a paper bag, and I just think she would probably butcher that movie. Look what she did to Jonah Hex. She dragged it through the mud.
Right.
And she got booted out of Transformers 3 for her crappy attitude.
True.
So screw her, and I say you go with an unknown. Someone, Diora Baird, whatever you say.
Diora Baird, yes.
That would be my answer, because I'm butchering this answer for you, so I apologize.
That's all right. I'm a huge fan of Diora Baird.
Are you?
I am. I follow her on Twitter as well and have had actual correspondence with her.
Nice. I say you cast her, because I think she's a little taller. You know, she hopefully she has the acting chops for it. I know there's a handful of women out there who have mentioned they would maybe do the role, like Angelina Jolie or Jennifer Love Hewitt, I think, was quoted a while back as saying,
wants the role, yeah.
Was that her? Yeah.
That was her.
And that would be, like, totally, like, the worst, like, Wonder Woman, like, ever.
like ever.
She would, like, talk like this, like, oh, my God, we have to, like, fight Ares.
Tell me the truth. Here's my lasso.
Oh, boy. Yeah, so I'm going to say Diora Baird, final answer.
I think that's a great answer. I do have an answer for that as well. Diora Baird, I hadn't thought of. If I was casting for a purely looks and, I guess, action potential, have you ever seen the series Legend of the Seeker?
No.
Oh, okay. There is an actress in that. Her name is Bridget Regan.
Okay.
And I think she not only looks the part, but from two seasons of Legend of the Seeker, which has since been canceled, I thought it was a pretty good show, produced by Sam Raimi, actually. But there was a lot of action in it, and she did a lot of fighting. So I think she can do that duality of being the hot action chick.
But be physical, but be attractive as well.
Right. And she looks like Wonder Woman, so I think it would be a very good casting. Absolutely.
There you go.
So that would be my choice. All right, so good top three. You stepped up to the plate.
Thank you.
I like it. So before we go,
I feel like I did horribly.
You did lovely.
All right.
Before we go and take our first commercial break, I'm going to put out this week's poll question to the audience, which is related to what we just did. And I'm going to ask the audience, who do you want to see cast as Wonder Woman? Since that is the one that is coming up next in the DC line, you can send that answer to podcast@thegeekgeneration.com, or you can message me @geekgeneration on Twitter. So we are going to take a quick commercial break, and we will be right back. Hello, listeners. Do you shop on Amazon.com? Would you like to support the Geek Generation while shopping on Amazon.com? Well, then I have good news for you, because you can do both without spending any additional money. All you need to do is visit www.thegeekgeneration.com and find the Amazon button on the front page. click the button, do your normal shopping, and check out. You have spent no additional money, but you have earned us a commission, so I thank you. Please make this a regular part of your Amazon.com shopping routine. We are back on the Geek Generation, and we are going right into news. First things first, it's a big week. Starting today, actually, was the beginning of San Diego Comic-Con, running from July 22nd to 25th. Tons of news is going to come out from that. I already have someone else on the staff doing some summary news articles, which will be going up on the site over the next week, as well as a lot of individual articles I'll be throwing up there. So look forward to that. First news story is the images of Thor. Marvel released a few different images, one of which has Anthony Hopkins front and center as Odin, Chris Hemsworth, of course, as Thor behind him, and also Tom Hiddleston as Loki. Did you get a chance to look at that?
I did. I think I mentioned that in my geek out. Yeah, that was released. I mentioned the movie poster in my geek out. But those images, I did get to see those images. I'm super psyched for the Thor movie. I feel like Kenneth Branagh could do to Thor what Christopher Nolan did to Batman.
Really? That much, huh?
Yeah, I feel that strongly about it. Kenneth Branagh is actually a really talented guy. Like, he's done acting and directing and writing in Britain. And he's like a Shakespearean kind of a guy.
Okay.
And I actually read Thor. I collect Thor. And over the years, he's definitely gone up the ladder for me as far as my favorite Marvel characters. I'd say at this point, he's probably number two behind Spider-Man still for me.
Wow, that's saying a lot.
Yeah, I know, right? He's a really cool character. And for me, I think if the film portrays Thor in a way where I know they're linking it into the Avengers and, you know, Earth. But if they really focus on, like, Asgard and Thor's world, it can be an epic film. It could be very Lord of the Rings-ish, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I know that Marvel is now owned by Disney, and they have a certain direction they want to go in with bringing Thor, quote unquote, down to Earth, so to speak. So I'm sure they'll integrate him fairly heavily with Earth. But I think if they stick to the Asgardian lore of that character and that world, I think it could come across as being awesome.
I agree. And I also recently saw another image that I haven't posted yet with Chris Hemsworth, not in the Thor costume, but holding the hammer, which is stuck in a rock or something like that. And holy crap, does he look ripped.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
He definitely did some P90X for this role.
Yeah, no kidding. It's like, I mean, you saw him in Star Trek as Kirk's father, and he was just a regular sized guy, but wow, did he hit the gym.
There you go. And, you would, you know, one would have to become Thor, because that guy's, you know, juiced as it is.
Oh, definitely.
Arguably Marvel's most powerful character, physically most, you know, strongest character.
Right.
So, yeah, you would have to be in damn good shape to be him.
Ghost Rider 2 news. Nicolas Cage confirmed on Craig Ferguson's show that he will indeed be in the sequel. The tentative title is Ghost Rider Spirit of Vengeance. Mark Neveldine and Brian Taylor, who directed Crank, will apparently direct the sequel. And Eva Mendes confirmed that she will not be appearing in it.
Thank God. No offense to her. You know, I'm of mixed. I heard that piece of news as well. And by the way, your news section is very good. I like it. It's very
thank you.
It's very up to date. It is very prevalent with what you with what you're going with. So I dig it. But you know, I feel sort of the opposite about the Ghost Rider film and now the sequel as I do Thor coming up. It's like, and I like Ghost Rider as a character. I just don't particularly care for Nicolas Cage. Him being Frank Coppola's nephew, I think, is kind of what got him into being famous in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And I just feel like him being Elvis Presley in the first Ghost Rider just turned me off so bad. And you know, what are they going to do? Like, are they actually going to have Mephisto in this and actually have Blackheart? You know, and I know they were in the first movie, but I mean, can we really portray?
Yeah, but they really weren't.
Exactly. It was like two guys, like, you know, like, exactly. They were just dressed up in, like, overcoats. It's like, I would love to. Okay, if they're going to do it right, do it right. You know, have Mephisto, have Blackheart, have it be badass, and just tell Nicolas Cage to shut up and stop acting like Elvis and just be, you know, the badass Johnny Blaze.
Right. And I agree that Nick Cage very much got lucky with this role. He had the star power to play a character that he's a big fan of, but that doesn't necessarily mean he should have the right to, because
right.
he doesn't pull it off. And I almost think that if they were going to the sequel, I'm a bigger fan of the actor that played the young Johnny Blaze in the first one. I would rather see him as Ghost Rider. I'm serious. He's great.
Ditto. Ditto. I like that. In fact, the girl who played the young Eva Mendes in that flashback, she should have been Eva Mendes throughout the rest of the movie.
Hey, we have our cast for the sequel.
Boom. There you go.
They're already familiar. So
I'll make, if I may, I'd like to make two quick points about Ghost Rider.
Yep.
Number one, if they were going with who Ghost Rider's biggest fan is gets to be Ghost Rider, then they should have picked Rob Van Dam.
Really?
Yeah, the wrestler Rob Van Dam.
I did not know that.
Yeah, I read that he's like a huge Ghost Rider fan.
I know he's a comic book fan. I didn't know Ghost Rider was his character of choice.
I think it is. I'm pretty sure that it is. You know, and then Ghostface Killah might as well have been Iron Man, because he's like a giant Iron Man fan. Like, we're not going, we're not going by who, again, like that was kind of my answer with the whole, like, I should be the Flash. Like, I was just speaking like I'm joking, but
right, well then I guess I should play Batman.
You should.
if everyone gets that.
You know what though, you should really campaign to be Nightwing.
Ooh, that, like that? I can't tell you how much I would love that.
That'd be your personal dream right there. And then my other point about Ghost Rider was, you know what, the first movie didn't do so well. Why don't you just drop Ghost Rider and make, like, Doctor Strange?
Actually, that's in the talks.
Or Iron Fist, or Luke Cage, or, you know, pick another Marvel character that or Moon Knight. I don't care who you pick, but pick someone pick someone who hasn't gotten a shot yet. You know, they're rebooting Spider-Man. I've heard rumors of them rebooting Daredevil and rebooting Fantastic Four. They've already did a reboot for The Incredible Hulk. Like, you know, and I know this isn't a reboot, it's a sequel, but, you know, just end it. Either A, so my two parts of my answer, my long ass answer, is either A, do it right, or B, don't do it and move on to someone else who deserves a shot, another character that deserves a shot.
Agreed.
Punks.
Next piece of news I think you'll like a little bit. Robot Chicken, Star Wars Episode 3, is coming to Adult Swim on Cartoon Network. It will be shown December 12th at 11:30 p.m.
Robot Chicken is my third favorite Adult Swim show.
Great show.
I think Seth Green is very talented. I think the voice actors and the guests that they get on that show are awesome and almost staggering. Like, they get some pretty high-level people to do Robot Chicken.
It is impressive, the amount of people they do get.
Yeah, and I like how Seth MacFarlane and Seth Green, like, you know, go back and forth from Family Guy to Robot Chicken, especially when it comes to these Star Wars episodes, and they take digs at one another. But I'm psyched. I'm psyched for Episode 3. Robot Chicken. Episode 3 was the only good prequel out of the Star Wars movies anyway, so hopefully the bit that Robot Chicken puts out, it will be stellar, because the other two were really good.
The press release did say while the first two were much more almost sketch-based, this one will be more narrative than the others.
Hmm.
So I think that'll be interesting for Robot Chicken, because they are almost like that ADD show where they
right.
jump around so much. So I don't know. I think that'll be odd, but probably work out very well.
Yeah, they're in good hands. I think they'll do a good job.
Yeah. Next thing, another thing I know you'll love, Marvel vs. Capcom 3. Four more characters have been added to the roster, officially announced on the Marvel side. Doctor Doom and Super Skrull. On the Capcom side, Chun-Li and Trish from Devil May Cry.
Yeah, that actually was going to be my answer originally for the whole geek out thing, was Marvel vs. Capcom 3. Because it is quickly becoming the number one game on people's minds. You know, they just can't wait for it to come out. You know that I was and am a huge fan of every Marvel and / you know, Capcom fighting game that came out.
Absolutely.
Back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
You know, X-Men versus Street Fighter, Marvel. I still, once in a great while, will pop in Marvel, X-Men Children of the Atom, you know, PS1 game. Like in
amazing game.
Yeah. So anyways, Marvel's Capcom 3, those four choices, you know, great choices. I think Super Skrull and Trish being original characters, I think, are great additions. Chun-Li and Doctor Doom, yeah, those are staples. You got to have those two in there. I think Super Skrull is a really smart choice because, you know, it's another villain, A, and B, you take care of all four of the Fantastic Four characters in one character.
Oh yeah.
You know, you just consolidate like all the animation and all the voice acting you would have had to do with four people, and you just made it one.
And from the footage I've seen of him, they are definitely making use of all four of those characters.
Yeah, I actually caught that footage as well.
The other thing that I did see today, even though it's almost leaked information, they weren't supposed to announce it yet, but it kind of slipped out, is two more characters that are actually Thor, and I don't know the name, but it's the main character in, what was that game? It's a Capcom game. Okami, is that it? I don't know
the
if
wolf?
I'm saying that right. The Wolf, yes.
The Wolf from Okami and Thor. Those are, I think I've made it clear how I feel about Thor.
Right.
So, you know, Thor is a great choice. And the Wolf from Okami is a very original and interesting choice. I know that the producers of Marvel vs. Capcom 3 wanted to really spread the love when it came to the Capcom side of things, because there's been a lot of Capcom games that have come out over the past decade. Because Marvel vs. Capcom 2 came out like 10 years ago.
Right, right.
You know, and you know, you and I used to play that game. I used to play that game versus everyone, and I used to,
and kicked all of our butts.
Yes, thank you for that. I used to play my own very well, and I remember you guys. I used to ask you guys to pick my team.
Right,
and I
and
still
you'd still whoop us. Yeah,
I still would whoop up. So I can't wait for Marvel's Capcom 3. But what was I going to say? Yeah, I think the producers wanted to get more variety, specifically on the Capcom side. You know, you're seeing Dante and Trish and now the Wolf from Okami, and I think it's a good thing. You know what I mean? It just gives more breadth to the character roster.
Yeah, that game is going to be nothing short of badass.
Yeah, I foresee a lot of time being spent playing that game, specifically online with all of our friends.
No doubt. Next piece is another video game sequel that I'm very excited about. Alice Madness Returns will be out for PC, PS3, and Xbox 360. Alice Madness Returns takes place 10 years after the conclusion of the original game, which was American McGee's Alice, with Alice struggling to recover from the emotional trauma of losing her entire family in a fatal fire. After spending a decade institutionalized in an insane asylum, she is finally released to the care of a psychiatrist who just may be able to help her conquer the nightmarish hallucinations that still haunt her. Alice embarks on a mission to root out the true cause of her family's mysterious death, jumping from a gloomy and stark London to a rich and provocative Wonderland.
Whoa.
Yeah, I don't know if you ever played American McGee's Alice. I cranked through that sucker in college and was obsessed with it for a little while. The art is absolutely amazing. The gameplay wasn't stellar, but wow, did it look awesome.
Yeah, I never played it, but Dave had it, so I used to watch him play a little bit when it came out. Now, is American McGee making this one? Is he making the sequel? Is he part of it or no?
This is the sequel to American McGee's Alice, and American McGee does have a direct hand in it.
Okay, because that would definitely change, I'm sure, the quality and the following that sequel would garner, because if you don't have the guy that, you know, made the first one, you know, people are going to be like, well, what the heck? By the description of that, it sounds like Silent Hill meets Alice in Wonderland.
I know, right?
You know, peanut butter and jelly goes great together, so apparently Silent Hill and Alice in Wonderland will be just as delicious. I don't know. That was horrible. Hopefully, I actually ate a peanut butter and jelly sandwich not too long ago, so that was
it's fresh on your mind.
It was fresh on my mind. But yeah, you know, anything that's American McGee, Tim Burton-esque kicks butt, and I'm sure this game's gonna rock.
Agreed. Again. Netflix streaming app is coming to PS3 by the end of October. Yay.
Nice.
Have you been using the streaming disc at all?
Yes. Yes, I have. I've gotten more acquainted with my PS3 recently. I'm actually not a Netflix member, but so many people I know are, and it's probably high time I jump on the bandwagon. Yeah, my PS3 and I are becoming good friends, so anything that I do want to watch on my PS3, I do stream it from my shared folder on my computer, which is coming.
Which is very handy.
Oh, it's awesome. It's great. So yeah, Netflix to the PS3 is nothing short of spectacular.
Yeah, and I have the streaming disc, and I watch stuff, and the quality is absolutely amazing. So it's nice to, it's great to have the convenience of not having to put the disc in anymore, and I'll be able to download an app. But the best benefit of that is that now it's an app they'll be able to update in the future as Netflix builds itself.
That's wicked cool.
Yeah. Next piece, Mega Man Universe announcement trailer. I am a ginormous Mega Man fan, as you know, and yes. But I don't know what this is exactly. The trailer was really cool in all the stop motion animation and everything. There are some quick appearances by Ryu and Arthur, which are other Capcom characters. And at points in the trailer, Mega Man like picks up pieces of them in his own body, and it's like an amalgam. So I don't know exactly what they're going for there. The game is coming out for PlayStation Network and Xbox Live, so it's not a full disc-based retail game. Capcom is saying that, quote, this game will break the mold and challenge the conventional wisdom of what a Mega Man game can be. When fans finally get to see it, I believe they'll envision their most far-out Mega Man dreams coming true. Wow.
Well, you just said it's not going to be a disc-based game. I almost envision it being like a MMORPG or something, although it's not going to be, but I guess, what am I trying to say? Like, is it going to be Mega Man just, like, put in this world, in, like, Capcom's world, and you probably run into, like, other Capcom characters, and, like you just said, you know, can all of a sudden do a Hadouken or something?
Right, it's really interesting, and they have, Capcom's liked to play around with the Mega Man games and have it branch out a little bit already, because in the Mega Man X series, in each of the X games, at least the first ones, you could pick up a different power that was hidden. Like, you could do a Hadouken in one of them, you could do the Shuriken in another. So they have been borrowing from Street Fighter a lot. To see Ryu and Arthur actually show up in the trailer is the most curious part to me. And the trailer ends with the a version of Mega Man from the original box art, which, if you've ever seen, is hysterical. But I don't know. It's that inclusion of the other characters that really makes me curious about where they're going with this.
So you can play as Mega Man and, like, hit on Cammy and Chun-Li at a bar, and, like, E. Honda slips on a bar of soap and, like, sits on you accidentally, and
that's a good game right there.
yeah. Mega Man, you know, it's like The Sims, only it's Mega Man in like a Capcom world.
It sounds like a version of Dungeons & Dragons that I would play when I was in like elementary school.
There you go.
Let's see. This one you might not care about as much. I know you're not a big Smallville fan, but, and I don't know how to say this last name properly. Laura Vandervoort, will return to Smallville for the final season. She'll be returning for one last episode during the final season. She will again reprise her role as Kara Zor-El, cousin to Tom Welling's Clark Kent and the would-be Supergirl. Last seen in the series' eighth season, heading off in search of the Kryptonian city of Kandor. I imagine her return will be related to the fact that the Kandorians are now a regular part of the series, but I'm just happy to see characters returning for the final season of Smallville, really.
Sure. You should just call that girl, what's her first name again? What's her first name?
Laura.
Laura. You should call her, like, Laura Scandinavian last name lady. Like,
just, I know, right?
you know, just like Vander Booty, very.
I usually just refer to her as Supergirl because she's modern incarnation of it. So
this just then, Supergirl is coming back as Supergirl.
Hey, that's news. she has been doing other stuff. She has a role on V, and I recently saw her co-starring with Stone Cold Steve Austin in a movie called Damage.
What?
Yeah.
Did he give her the stunner?
No. I was waiting for it, but it didn't happen.
He should have given her the stunner, and then she, like, punches him through a wall.
Well, it's a movie about a guy. It's very much like all those underground illegal fighting ring movies. It's the same concept. Mm-hmm. So I was on the edge of my seat waiting for him to give somebody a stunner, and it just never happened.
Nothing,
never did.
Nothing beats underground fighting movies. Like, nothing beats Lionheart.
Oh, Lionheart's awesome. That's all I could think about the whole time I was watching it.
That's the best underground fighting movie, in my opinion, of all time.
100% in agreement. So great. Last piece of news to end our news block. Iron Man 2, coming to Blu-ray and DVD on September 28th. Again, they are making the wise decision that so many studios are. When you buy the Blu-ray version, it's actually a combo pack that comes with a Blu-ray disc and a DVD that both have the theatrical version of the movie.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's so smart by studios. Disney and Pixar kind of broke ground with it, I think, but other places have been picking it up.
Yeah, hopefully they will have the aspect ratio that actually fills my television, because that's my one gripe with Blu-ray, is I know that Hollywood cameras, they film in different, you know, aspect ratios and resolutions and blah blah blah. Mm-hmm. I don't want to get into that tangent, but like some Blu-rays fill the screen and some don't.
That's interesting. Like,
have you ever noticed that?
I haven't. No, I never really paid attention.
Like, for example, Iron Man, and I've configured my PS3 like in every which way, and I've tried testing it in every which way, and I've actually searched the internet for this answer, and everyone who kind of knows what they're talking about gives the answer that I kind of just said, is like, it's not really up to the Blu-ray, it's up to how they film it. But then it's like, the point is, well, why couldn't they do something in post-production to make it fill your TV? Because it's like, why buy, you know, $30, $40, $50 Blu-ray and, you know, like a $300-$500 PS3 and you can't even fill your expensive television?
Right.
It's just like a pet peeve of mine. But Iron Man 2 is a fantastic film. And you said it was coming out the 28th?
Yes.
I will be buying it the 29th. I will be the second guy in line on the second day. That will be me. Because God knows I'm probably working on the 28th. But but I'm buying that sucker, because that was a great movie.
Absolutely.
And I'm a big Blu-ray fan. And you're a Blu-ray fan as well, aren't you?
I love it. Love Blu-ray. Best thing ever.
Blu-ray's where it's at.
Cool. All right. We're going to take one more break, and then we're going to come back with some rental recommendations for July. We are back, and we have a list of movies now to recommend for the month of July on the site. Every now and then I try to do an article that gives a lot of the movies that I've watched in the last month or so, and just whether or not it's worth your time or not. So we have a list we're going to run down, give you a quick description of a few of these, and let you know whether you should bother renting it or not. Granted, all these movies didn't necessarily come out in July. They're just things that we've watched recently. The first on my list is a movie called Mary and Max. It's a stop-motion, claymation-ish movie that came out in 2008. Very dark. It's almost completely black and white with little splashes of color here and there. The surprising thing about the movie is that it's incredibly adult-toned, not for a child audience, despite the animation. And it was a surprising, I would say, look at friendship and the things that make people unique. The basic premise is there's this girl, Mary, who's an 8-year-old Australian girl, not a very good home life. She picks a name out of a phone book, sends a letter to the person, and it ends up being a 44-year-old man in New York who has Asperger's syndrome. Since he has the syndrome, he has pretty much no filter on what he says or his honesty like that. So Mary asks him all these questions about life, like where do babies come from? And he's very honest with his answers to an 8-year-old girl. So things develop. They actually develop a very great, unique friendship. It goes through the progress of their lives and was incredibly touching by the end of it. So that is a definite rent it for me.
Nice.
Do you have one?
Yeah, I do. Well, I have a few, so I'll go one by one. This is a movie that came out, oh boy, I want to say September of last year. Actually, I know exactly when it came out. It came out 9/9/9, and I remember seeing the trailer, and the trailer was basically a Coheed and Cambria song played over some cool-looking animation, and then it said produced by Tim Burton and produced by the guy who did Wanted and blah, blah, and that caught my attention right there. It was the film Nine. The Digit 9, not to be confused with that other movie, 9, N-I-N-E, that was all about, like, girls dancing or whatever.
Right.
But I actually own this on Blu-ray, so I know this is a rental conversation, but if you want to buy it, then go out and buy it. If you like animation, and not kiddie animation, but stuff in the vein of A Nightmare Before Christmas, but without the musicals kind of a thing, the 9 is... you should check it out. I don't want to give too many spoilers about it, but it's got a really good voice acting cast. It has, off the top of my head, John C. Reilly, Jennifer Connelly, Frodo Baggins is the main character, 9.
Elijah Wood.
Thank you. Yeah, just Martin Landau, Crispin Glover. It's a good movie. And originally it was just a short. It was, I think, some guy's like senior project in college. It was like a short animated film. And
right.
It got picked up, and again, the trailer is really what hooked me. But I ended up buying it and watched it. And if it's kind of one of those movies that went quickly in the theaters, so I would say give that one a try.
Cool. Next one on my list is a movie called Super Capers, which caught my attention mainly because it is a superhero movie, and I'm willing to give any of those a try. It stars Justin Whalen, who was actually Jimmy Olsen in the Lois and Clark series. And one of the other characters that I recognized was Ted from Scrubs, and Christine Lacken from Step by Step, who's all grown up now, clearly, because this came out in 2008 as well.
I have the Step by Step theme song in my head now. Thank you.
I went in with the hopes that it would be a good superhero spoof, and it fell completely flat. Every joke was almost like we could have made a better movie than that, I'm pretty sure. So this is an absolute don't bother with this one. It's a piece of crap.
That stinks.
Yeah.
Let's see. Again, this is a film that came out a while ago. I want to say it came out like last summer. I'm a little behind when it comes to movies, which is why this is kind of cool that we're doing a rental topic, because it gives you a chance to, you know, talk about films that have come out not just recently, but over the past year or two. This movie also has the number 9 in it, but it's District 9. I don't know, Rob, if you saw that movie.
I have. I loved it.
Yeah, that was another one of those films that kind of came and went quickly in the theaters. I know it was produced by Peter Jackson, and that gave it a little bit of, you know, hype around it. But I just thought it was fantastic. Again, it was another one of those movies that I have on Blu-ray. I just thought it was great. I don't want to do spoilers again, so I'm not going to talk too much about it. But it takes place in South Africa, and it's sort of, in my opinion, one of the most, if not the most, real-to-life depictions of what would happen if aliens actually came to our planet. You know, I think it's much more realistic than The Day the Earth Stood Still, or God forbid, Independence Day, or, you know, some crappy movie like that. But I just think it was really well done. Charlton Copley.
Yep.
The main character, who also plays Howlin' Mad Murdock in the A-Team movie.
Very well, mind you.
I didn't see it yet. I know.
Oh, great. Absolutely great, man.
I know it's been brought up multiple times on these podcasts, but I definitely want to check it out. But that guy did a great job in that movie. It's just basically shot documentary style, and I thought it was just very, very well written, produced, acted, and one of those movies that, you know, it wasn't like watching, you know, Wolverine, where you're just watching someone do backflips for an hour and a half. It actually made you think, and you cared about the characters the whole time, so... Definitely, if you have not seen District 9, go out and either rent or buy that one.
Cool. And just like the movie 9 that you mentioned was based on a short, as was District 9.
Really?
Yeah, you can watch it on YouTube. I believe it's about 9 minutes long, oddly enough.
I did not know that. I was taking a sip of water when you said that, and it almost came out of my nose. In fact, yeah, it just did. No, I'm just kidding. It did.
That, too, is based on a short, and the creator of that short worked in collaboration to create District 9.
Awesome.
Yeah. Next movie on my list is An Education, which I believe is Carey Mulligan's big breakout movie. It's her co-starring with Peter Sarsgaard, who's almost always good, as well as there's a lesser role in there played by Alfred Molina, who I love. And it's about a girl in school who is getting courted by a much older man, and they have an odd relationship that makes you uneasy throughout most of the film, but the way it plays out is very fascinating. It's just a really interesting journey to go on. So that's another one that I would say definitely rent it.
Nice. Sounds interesting. I'm going to do my last answer in kind of a two-parter. I'm going to say a movie that, again, I think you've covered on these podcasts, but so I'll be brief. And the second half, I will mention two films quickly that I haven't seen but want to see, and so maybe we can do like a poll of the audience, or maybe you can do something on the website where it's like, have you seen either of these films? And if you've seen either of these films, hopefully you can help me out.
All right.
The first movie that I would recommend would be Shutter Island, and I know you spoke with that, I think, with Dave. Did you end
That's
up seeing?
That's actually on my list now.
Is that your next one?
Yeah. Not only did we review that in our last episode, but that's actually on my list now of something to definitely rent.
Oh, sick. Yeah, so I'll be brief on that. Just, again, Leo DiCaprio, good actor. Ben Kingsley, of course, does a great job. And just a psychological movie, was a book originally. And I just thought it was very well done. My wife and I kind of figured out the big plot twist fairly early into the movie, but we wanted to ride it out anyway. Again, on Blu-ray, of course. So I just thought it was really good. You know, Martin Scorsese is just super talented, and for him to kind of do a genre that's not really his forte, I think he did a really good job. The second half of what I wanted to say was two movies that came out recently that I haven't seen that maybe you have or an audience member has that can maybe steer me in the right direction as far as should I rent or buy it.
All right.
One of them is The Losers.
Okay.
With Captain America / I'm in every comic movie ever, Chris Evans. And the girl, I don't know how to pronounce her name, but she was the female Avatar from Avatar. She was, you know what I'm talking about?
I think it's like
Zoe something something something.
Yeah.
Just like Supergirl's last name is something something something.
Right. Zoe Saldana is actually it.
Oh, very good. Because something something something's the new last name. That's all the rage. So yeah, The Losers. I wanted to check that out because, you know, it was based on a comic book. Looked really good. Oh, also the gentleman who played the comedian.
Yes.
From The Watchmen.
Yep.
He's in it. It just, like I said, it looked good, caught my eye. Kind of like, you know, what I said about Nine. The movie Nine just really caught my eye. So The Losers caught my eye.
While Todd was here for episode 3, we talked briefly about The Losers. I myself have not seen it yet, but he recommended it.
Nice. And the other movie I wanted to briefly touch upon was, I believe it's called The Imaginarium of Dr. Parnassus or something, something, Dr. Parnassus. It's the one where, I keep saying something, something. It's the one that Heath Ledger started to film after they wrapped up The Dark Knight, and then Heath Ledger passed away.
Yes.
And then Johnny Depp and who's who, I think Colin Farrell. There's like a slew of actors who...
And Jude Law, those
thank
three.
You. Yes. They lended their talents to pick up the pieces of that movie and just expand on that character and that whole universe. So again, one of those movies, I saw the trailer, just caught my eye, and I was going, wow, I just really wanted to see that. And much like Heath Ledger's passing sort of added to the hype and the curiosity of The Dark Knight, I think Heath Ledger's passing sort of adds to the hype and the curiosity of this film.
Right. From what I heard, Heath Ledger had done the filming of most of the main stuff in the movie, but nothing in the Imaginarium. So what they did is every time he goes into the Imaginarium, it becomes one of those other actors.
That's cool.
In the same character, yeah.
And that's a pretty cool way of them to get around that, really.
Right. And that's a Terry Gilliam movie, who, if you're familiar with his other work, is just really abstract and out there. So I actually have that one sitting on my shelf, and I haven't watched it yet.
There you go.
So maybe the audience can give us some reviews on that one.
There you go.
Let's see. Next on my list is Fantastic Mr. Fox, which a lot of people are saying is George Clooney's best role ever, even though he's just providing the voice for the fox. If you are familiar with the story or not, it's a popular children's book by one of my favorite children's authors, Roald Dahl, who also wrote the book Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, which became Willy Wonka. So that's something that's it's an incredibly charming movie. It's all in stop motion, no CGI. And I think that was a very smart decision for this movie because the charm definitely shines through. So that's another rent it on my list. Have you had a chance to watch that one at all?
No, but I want to eat an everlasting gobstopper now that you mentioned Willy Wonka. I thought George Clooney's best role ever was Bruce Wayne in Batman and Robin.
I'm going to have to hang up on you right now.
Boo. Yeah, no.
Boo.
I'm busting you.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. That's good to hear that people have touted that as George Clooney's best role ever. A little weird that it's a voice acting capacity,
though. Yeah, I actually enjoyed him the most in Up in the Air, personally. But he's also fantastic in Fantastic Mr. Fox. How about that?
I liked him in Burn After Reading.
That he was good in it. I didn't so much care for the movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Gotcha. Was it because Brad Pitt died?
No, just not my speed, I guess.
Gotcha.
Next movie on my list is When in Rome, which is Kristen Bell starring with Josh Duhamel co-starring. Total piece of crap.
The guy from Transformers meets Sarah Marshall.
Yeah, I know, right? It's a rom-com, which I do watch every now and then, because a good romantic comedy is a good romantic comedy. This, however, was not one. It's got a decent backup cast, too. Some of the people courting Kristen Bell are like Danny DeVito's in it, John Heder, Dax Shepard, Will Arnett, which are all great-sounding names.
Yeah, what the heck?
Yeah, it was just, it just came off really, really stupid.
That should be like a non-stop drag-out pee-your-pants comedy, like with those names.
Should be, but they all, I don't even think it was their fault. It was just a terrible script and terrible characters, so.
By the way, instead of saying romantic comedy, you said rom-com. Like, that sounds like a Lady Gaga lyric. Like, you should sell that to her. Like, rom-com, bum-bum-bum. Like,
I'm sorry. I know I'm using the accepted short names.
No, industry. You were without those rights, but it struck my ear. So,
just makes you want to break out into song, does it?
It makes me want to shoot Lady Gaga.
Well, I only have three more since Shutter Island's off my list now, but I mean, definitely rent that still. She's Out of My League was a great movie starring Jay Baruchel and a big breakout actress, Alice Eve. I thought it was just going to be a raunchy comedy in the style of American Pie because of some of the footage they show in the trailer.
Sure.
There's probably one raunchy part in the whole movie. And aside from that, it's very creative. It has a really great cast of moderately unknown young comedic actors. And it was very good.
Nice. I have not seen that film. I wanted to see it. I heard that Alice Eve is going to become Emma Frost. Is that true?
That is true.
That's a good casting right there. She's blonde. She's attractive. So that's pretty much Emma Frost's character in a nutshell. And Jay Baruchel, is that how you say his last name? He, my favorite film that he was in was Tropic Thunder.
Which I have not seen.
Oh, you got it. Okay. I'm just going to throw that on as my next movie. I felt like when we started this topic about movies, we should have been more contemporary, but I got to say, you know, I kind of went with Nine, which came out last September, so it's going on a year. But, you know, Tropic Thunder, which came out like 2 years ago, I have that sucker on Blu-ray, and, you know, I subscribe to all the higher channels on Comcast, so I get all of those anyway. And, you know, Tropic Thunder will just be on at my house, like in the background, obviously when the kids are asleep. But
Right.
Because they swear a lot. But that is a funny movie. So I thought I was done, but I'm going to throw Tropic Thunder up there. And crap, while I'm at it, I'm going to throw Step Brothers on there, both on Blu-ray, because I own both of them on Blu-ray. Step Brothers is probably Will Ferrell's best movie. And Tropic Thunder, other than becoming Tony Stark, Robert Downey Jr. he is that film. Like, he makes that movie. Sergeant Lincoln Osiris in that film. He is just phenomenal. And in fact, did he not get nominated for a Best Support? Did he win? Or I got to do my research. But
I don't recall if he won, but he was nominated.
He was at least nominated for an Academy Award for a comedy, for a raunchy comedy. And comedies get like hosed on all the time by Hollywood, especially when it comes to awards. So for him to be even nominated for that role just speaks volumes. So do yourself a favor. I know that you're not a huge Ben Stiller fan.
And that was the exact point I was going to make as to why I haven't seen it yet.
Check it out, man. I do not really care for Ben Stiller either, but it was the best film that I've seen Ben Stiller in, because Robert Downey Jr. is so good and Jack Black does a great job in it. Like, they just have such a good cast overall that you don't even notice Ben Stiller. I mean, he's the main character, but he's just whatever. He's Ben Stiller. All these other pieces are just so good that you go along for the ride. So
based on your recommendation, I am tempted to check it out. But based on the fact that you like Step Brothers, makes me want to not, because that movie was so bad.
No, it was. I'll tell you what. My opinion about Step Brothers, the first time I saw it, I thought it was okay. It's one of those movies. Well, okay, let me ask you this. Did you like Dumb and Dumber?
I did.
Okay. I remember being younger and I saw Dumb and Dumber and I thought it was pretty funny. But then you watch Dumb and Dumber for the second, third, fourth time and it gets funnier, in my opinion.
There are movies like that. Clerks was like that for me.
Okay. Well, in my opinion, you can put Step Brothers into that category. Like, it's one of those films that gets funnier as it goes along. You find yourself like quoting it. You know, it's just, if you haven't seen it, like, you just do yourself a favor and see that movie. To the audience, you said you saw it and didn't like it, so I'm speaking to the audience. Like, go watch Step Brothers, go watch Tropic Thunder.
See, I have seen it, and it's just one of those things where I barely made it through the first time, let alone going through a second watching, because I don't even, I don't know. I wasn't laughing. I didn't find it that funny. I mean, I'm sure there are some good quotable parts, and taken out of context, I have seen some funny quotes from it.
Sure.
But in the context of the movie, I was just very annoyed by the characters. And in the same way that Ben Stiller movies tend to annoy me, I was so annoyed that I wasn't enjoying it.
Well, Tropic Thunder and Step Brothers are definitely separate. So if you didn't like Step Brothers, I think you still will like Tropic Thunder. But as far as Step Brothers goes, I'm going to be the advocate for Step Brothers now. All you have to do is go on YouTube and search out Boats and Hoes and just watch that video, or just search out the scene where his brother and the brother's family are doing a cappella of Sweet Child of Mine, and they almost get into a car crash. Like, just there's really good scenes in that movie. It's a good movie.
All right, well, we'll agree to disagree on that one.
Yes,
the audience can make up their decision about
it. We knew that was inevitable at some point during
this.
Yeah,
I know. We were doing
like,
pretty
no,
well.
Yes, right, out, safe, black, white.
The next one on my list, I'm sure you actually will agree with me, and that's the movie Valentine's Day. And I almost listed it as my freak out because this movie has such a stellar cast. Let's see. Julia Roberts, Ashton Kutcher, Jamie Foxx, Jessica Alba, Jessica Biel, Jennifer Garner, Bradley Cooper, Patrick Dempsey. Sounds pretty good, right?
Sure.
Horrible.
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 So bad. It's just it's an unbelievable movie. Not to mention the fact that they have the Taylors when they were still going out. Taylor Lautner and Taylor Swift are playing a couple that are just so obnoxious in the movie. And granted, their characters were meant to be a little obnoxious, but just
you say the two Taylors. I have no idea who you're talking about. I'm thinking it's like two brothers who are like Italian tailors and actually like hem suits. I'm like,
and I wouldn't know what I was talking about if I wasn't an elementary teacher and thrown into that world. But and I shouldn't know. And you're right, I shouldn't know. But
yeah, the two Taylors. But
this,
get out of here.
This movie was just horrible. It's an ensemble cast. Clearly, there's a ton of different storylines going on. And that's one of the problems. They try to tie all these storylines in together, but none of them are really built up to the point where you care about them too much, with
sure.
the exception of one, maybe two of them. And ultimately, it's just not believable. Like, Jessica Biel's character is this woman who hates Valentine's Day because she can never get a date.
Yeah,
I'm
Jessica
sorry.
Biel has such a tough time.
Right, that's what I'm saying. You take someone as gorgeous as Jessica Biel and tell me she can't get a date, and I'm already out of the story because it makes no sense.
Well, it breaks the fourth wall. You know what I mean? You just, it's not believable.
Right. So that's a definite don't bother with that one. It's, ugh. I'm sure girls like it, but I can't even understand that. I don't know.
So you're saying complete chick flick. And first of all, let me just say that any film that's based on like the most shallow holiday of all time, like, Valentine's Day is just like this made-up crap holiday anyway.
Right, and so, I hate it just as much for that reason. Yeah, it's just
right,
stupid.
Right, and I mean, I at some levels, I can appreciate Valentine's Day. I mean, I'm married. I get it. But at the same time, I think a lot of people out there are just like, this is the stupidest holiday of all time. So for them to make a movie based on the stupidest holiday of all time, you know, next you're going to see like Arbor Day and like...
Yay!
Yay! It's going to be the Ents from the Two Towers, like... getting revenge on everyone again because it's going to be Arbor Day or I don't know. But anyways, Valentine's Day, I didn't see it, so I actually took your advice before I knew you told me not to.
Oh, well, great.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. That's some it's clairvoyant advice taking right there.
I tapped into the Speed Force, and I actually listened to this podcast before we did it.
Really?
Yeah, oh yeah.
You should have been better prepared for your top three answers, shouldn't you?
I should have completely been better prepared to say who that – F-bomb should have been Wonder Woman, or hey, at least I nailed who Hippolyta should be.
You did. Like, that was impressive.
Nailed
I'll
it.
I'll give you that one.
And yeah, Ares, crap. You know, pick some random guy, and then Wonder Woman go with an unknown.
There's no redos here. It's done. It's done. You're trying to get the whole segment re-recorded.
Yeah,
I am.
Or Rob's random chick that he said. Let's go.
Yeah.
Let's just. Let's just film the thing. Can we just film the thing?
Let's do it.
Can we just film these movies like The Flash and Wonder Woman and, you know, Shazam? Like, can we just cast Dwayne Johnson as Black Adam already?
Yeah.
Can we get that done? There's my answer for Black Adam. You didn't ask me that.
That's not one of the categories.
I know.
All right. Back to the list. We have one last one, and that is a movie I just watched this week called Extraordinary Measures. It came out in January and was kind of a bomb in the box office. It's produced and co-starred by Harrison Ford. The star is Brendan Fraser, who I'm not a huge fan of, but actually is really good in this movie. And it's not the greatest movie you'll ever watch, but it is heartwarming. And it's a lot better than the box office made it seem to be. Harrison Ford plays something a little off the cuff for his normal. He's a very abrasive, hard to get along with doctor, and he does a fantastic job in the movie. So I'm actually going to say to rent this one.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't see it. Anytime I see Brendan Fraser, I think George of the Jungle. And anytime I see Harrison Ford, I think Han Solo, who is one of my favorite all-time on-screen characters. And actually, he hates that about Han Solo. But I've heard interviews with him where he wants to separate himself from that kind of...
Right.
But to get to the film, I did not see it. I remember seeing trailers and clips and previews for it. And quite frankly, it looked like a Sunday night CBS made-for-TV movie.
Honestly, that's what a lot of people compare it to.
Really? Then I'm spot on. It didn't look like it had production value or any kind of like film pizzazz. It just looked like a TV movie, and then they decided to release it in cinemas.
And I can see how you could go into it with that feel, but at the same time, I think it doesn't take away from the enjoyment of the film itself. So, I mean, it's a take it or leave it one. I enjoyed it. Others might not. So, I mean, I'm going to recommend it, but
sure.
If you want to go rent it, it's totally up to you.
Well, it's about a sick kid. So, I mean, anytime you get something about a sick kid, I mean, that's it tugs on your heartstrings. So that's,
and it's even more than that. I don't want to give too much away, but
spoiler alert.
Yeah, I'm not, it goes beyond that. It goes into the difficulties that these two characters have with starting up a whole company that's going to develop a medicine for these sick kids and yada, yada, yada. So it deals with the corporate world and healthcare and all that stuff too. So it's interesting on multiple fronts, but yes, the sick children is the focus.
Nice. And that's, you know, that's important to actually show the struggle.
Right. So that about covers up all the rental recommendations. We did go a little long today, but I suppose that makes up for the abbreviated episode that I was getting my balls busted over for last week.
Take that, other podcast.
Yeah, Dangerous Memories. What's
up? Eat it. Dangerous Memories. I'll start a flame war right now. I'll go to bat for the Geek Generation. This is my first podcast, but you know, I've had two full glasses of water at this point, and maybe it's the fact that I kind of have to go a little, but I'm a little fired up at this point. So what's the other podcast again, man?
Dangerous Memories.
Dangerous Memories. I get a dangerous memory. I I just remember that you guys should lay off of Rob getting knee surgery, and unless you want to get some surgery, you should treat us with some more respect, guy, because you know, we should have, if you want this to become Pepsi versus Coke, it can become Pepsi versus Coke. You know what I'm saying? Or if you want this to become friendly and two brands actually work together, you know, kind of like that little bird that sits on the head of an alligator or a crocodile.
Or we can bring back your peanut butter and jelly reference.
Or peanut butter and jelly. Thank you. That's a better analogy. Let's do peanut butter and jelly. Dangerous Memories. Let's be peanut butter and jelly. Let me calm down. Let's be peanut butter and jelly. We don't want to be Coke versus Pepsi.
Yeah. But I don't know how much of a flame war we can actually start with them when they do come on and co-host with us too. So
I was just being a wise guy. I don't want to start a flame war. I like the fact that you guys have a symbiotic relationship.
Oh yeah, we love those guys. They mention us, we mention them. It's all good time.
Heck yeah.
Coming up next week, I haven't been able to do this yet, but I actually know what's going on next week, so I can actually do a little promo. Coming up next week, our first co-host, Dave Palmacci, returns to the show. Excitement abounds. We're going to talk about Inception next week as well. What is that?
that was the sound of wind. Because you mentioned Dave. And
I'm going to have to find a cricket noise to throw in there.
Yeah, there you go. Find a cricket noise.
Poor Dave.
No, Dave's the best. You should plug Dave, because Dave is an artist. He's a photographer. He's a very creative guy. Dave just needs to come out of his shell on the second podcast. I think Dave did a good job on the first podcast, but Dave needs to be Dave.
Yeah. Well, that happens. I mean, I have trouble being me on here, too. So,
really? You sound like you.
I sound like me, but I'm actually like a whole different me.
True. You have to host it, so.
Yeah. I know. I do have to. I feel a little more administrative than I should.
You are, but that's good because that's your role right now. You're wearing the hat that you need to, and you're basically doing a service for all of humanity right now.
Oh wow, that's big of you to say.
Well, again, I can tap into the Speed Force, so I went to the future, and you become like the president in like 16 years.
Really?
Yeah, just based off of this podcast.
Wow, that's amazing. All right, well, Dave Palmacci will be here next week with me, and we will give our review of Inception, which he has seen, and I will be seeing hopefully this weekend. I'd better if I'm going to do a review on it. Aside from that, Mike, do you have anything you'd like to plug?
I would like to plug the fact that I'm going to be listening to that podcast because I want to see Inception as well. It looks like a phenomenal film. So as far as like other things to plug, I would say, for all you comic book readers out there, if you're not reading Brightest Day, then you should get on the bandwagon if you like DC, because Geoff Johns is putting out some really good stuff. And then as far as you Marvel people out there, like I said, you should be following Thor right now because a lot is coming off of Siege that Marvel just did, and most of it is focusing on Thor, so you should be following Thor because they're going to be putting a lot of energy into that character, especially with that film coming out. So Thor when it comes to Marvel and Brightest Day when it comes to DC.
Excellent. Again, I ask the fans, if you like the show, please tell your friends about it. That's how we get more listeners and expand our reach. We've slowly been building up a little bit of a listener base, as you can tell by our listener responses, and we're hoping to reach out more. You can find any of the topics we talked about on the show today on the Geek Generation website, which is www.thegeekgeneration.com. On the site, you'll see a button to subscribe to this show in iTunes. In iTunes, you can rate the show and write a review, and I ask you to please do that because that increases our visibility in the iTunes store. We have 2 reviews so far, and we'd love to have more, both from the Dangerous Memories host. So, hey!
Well, hey, you know, at least by me opening my mouth, you know, hopefully we'll get some banter going back and forth, positive and negative, even though all of this is just some good fun. I don't know who the heck those guys are, and they don't know who I am, so I'm just being a wise guy.
Of course. There's a donate button on the site and a little progress bar. I'm trying to get up to $100 donated so I can buy a new microphone and not sound like I'm talking into a tin can, as I've been told.
Yeah, listen up, Bill Gates, Tony Stark, and Bruce Wayne, all you people that have money out there. You know,
come on, Stark Industries, Wayne Enterprises.
Yeah,
fork
give
it
up
over.
Give up some dough to the Geek Generation because we're talking about the stuff that you make.
That's right. If you have questions, comments, insults, or topics you'd like us to discuss on a future show, you can send those to podcast@thegeekgeneration.com or @GeekGeneration on Twitter. If you'd like to submit an article to the site as a guest writer, you can do that by sending it to guest@thegeekgeneration.com. And as always, the show theme is provided by Machine Supremacy. A link to their site is on our site. So Wally, thank you so much for being here for this wonderful episode and enduring the heat in your summer cold with me.
No problem. Again, my real name is Mike, but because people are going to be listening to this going, what is this guy's real name? But thank you, Batman, for having me. And this is The Flash saying, hope everyone out there in the internet has enjoyed listening to us.
Excellent. And we will see you next time on The Geek Generation. Yeah.
That was.
I'm recording all this too, so I'll just save those for later.
Are you really?
Yeah, I record the whole break. It's just easier to have one file to go with.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Because we should re-record my Wonder Woman answer like right now.